A reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Kia ora koutou. Ko te mea tuatahi, he mihi ki te atua. Ngā nei, ngā mea katoa. Ko te mea tuarua, he mihi ki te tangata o parihaka. Firstly, I acknowledge God, from whom all things come. Secondly, before I jump into my sermon, I just want to acknowledge the people of Parihaka. Parihaka is a place to our north up in Taranaki, and the 5th of November is when we celebrate Parihaka, also Guy Fawkes and someone trying to blow up government, but also Parihaka. And if you don't know the story of Parihaka, I invite you to St. Peter's Church this evening. There's a service around Parihaka. And Leila Tahuaroa, one of our young people in our youth group, is preaching. She whakapapa's back. Her family goes back to Parihaka. So I just want to acknowledge that before I start my sermon today. And before I jump into my sermon, we are currently in a series called Love Came Down. Love Came Down. And so we want to set up the Advent season that's coming up. We want to start that journey into that season. So I'm just going to quickly recap. Hopefully I'll listen to Caleb's sermon. Well, I just want to quickly recap. We had obviously the big parish combined service last week, so I just want to jump us back. And now Caleb talked to us about Philippi. Yes, first one down. Okay, Philippi. And the society of Philippi was all about climbing the ladder of success, all right? So he drew some lines like this and arrows, going up like this. And then up here was God, and Caleb did the pew! God, the creator of the pew, 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 pew universe thing, nailed it. God is up here, right? God created the universe, but he comes down to us. He dies a slave's death on the cross, the lowest thing. So what is God like up here? And what is God like down here? Caleb then challenged us that everyone in the room is challenged by are we worthy? Are we worthy to receive this gift of Jesus down to us? That we all believe a lie, or we tell ourselves a story that I'm not worthy to receive this God. So just want to set up, that's where we're heading in this little series. Now, a lot of you know me as the parish youth worker. I've been the parish youth worker for 4.5 years, so that's one of my identities. My other identity, I've often been called Dr. Doolittle. Or Eliza Thornberry. They have two characters that talk to animals. I have a way with animals. I was growing up, me and Anishuya Fletcher, the priest in charge at St. Peter's, me and her brother are close friends, or we were close friends, and I remember going to his house for a play date. They had two, what I thought in my head were big Rottweilers. Turned out they were cute Labradors. I remember playing downstairs in their house, and the dogs come running down the stairs, and like their teeth are probably right here by my face, and I pee myself. Or there was the other time in my youth work journey, you know, you go, you take kids out camping, experience the outdoors, sleep in a tent. We're sitting at night around a bonfire. I'm in the zone. We're having this deep moment, looking into the fire. Man, just about to really nail the point home. And these two mangy wild cats come in and start eating our food. As the Eliza Thornberry Dr. Dolittle, I pick it up, swing it by the tail. No animals were harmed in the making of the sermon. It landed on its feet, it was okay. Or there was the other time I inherited a pet fish from my older sister. She got bored of it. Here, Nathan, have a fish. So I got a fish tank in my room. I called him Gary. Don't know why I called him Gary. Sounded like a great fish name. And I loved this fish. I bought him one of those little old scuba diver little like ornaments for his tank. I bought him some oxygen weed, nice rocks. I cleaned the bowl. I gave him fresh water, gave him food. We gave him more food. And no matter what, no matter how I approached the bowl, no matter if I gave him lots of food, gave him more food, gave him different kind of food, cleaned his bowl, whatever I did, he swam away in fear. It's like for me to get to know Gary, to help him out, so that there was no fear in our relationship, I would have had to become a goldfish. To jump into the bowl and talk goldfish. Go on, get in behind. Come on, Rex, get in there. Go on, get up the side, Rex. Come on, come on. Relief as the shepherds muster their sheep in through the Jerusalem streets, in and among the crowds. Oh, we made it. All right, 1, 2, 3, 97, 98, 99. Always the one. Jimmy, where's Jimmy the sheep? Always losing Jimmy the sheep. Oh, the next load of sacrifice, next load of sheep are in to the temple courts, ready to be sold as sacrifices. Confined to the outer courts of the temple, the shepherds would watch as the sheep that they've spent their lives caring about, looking after, go into the temple, sold as sacrifices. The sheep would then be led closer in towards God's presence than I could get as a shepherd. The outer courts were the marketplace of the temple. There were crowds, there was lots of noise, things been sold. But there were walls, there were guards, there were curtains, there was the law, there was the class system of the time. That separated me, a shepherd, from the presence of God. The sheep that I cared about got closer to God's presence than I did as a shepherd. In the passage, we find ourselves at the illumination of the night sky. It's been a big day. The shepherds are back with their sheep, with their little lambs in the fields. They're probably lying there relaxing, looking up at the night sky. Someone jumps up. No, this is how the universe was created. Pew, 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 pew. Just like Caleb did. Nailed it again. And all of a sudden, the pitch black darkness is gone. And the sky is filled with God's glory, blinding brightness of God's glory. There is no news crews. There's no crowds with their smartphones videoing it. They are the ones to witness it. Our poor little shepherds are the ones to witness God's glory. Our shepherds were commonly known among the proper Jews as the godless. We were poor. We were looking after someone else's sheep. I didn't have enough money. I didn't have my own land. I was looking after someone else's sheep. I was illiterate. I didn't know how to write. Yet God's glory comes down, illuminates the darkness, and reveals himself to me. Why does Jesus reveal himself to me? This morning, their sheep got closer to God's presence. Now, all of a sudden, God himself was here, was being born here, right here in this town. See, the Jews, around the time of Jesus' birth, were waiting for a Messiah to come, often reading passages such as Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. Come down, make your name known to your enemies. Cause the nations to quake before you. Yes, God, come down in a quake. Let your enemies fear you. Not only was there this separation, physical separation, between me as a shepherd and God's presence, we were also living in a time of fear. This fear of God coming down in the earthquakes. Another fear that we lived amongst was the Roman Empire. They ruled notoriously for ruling with the sword. As part of the Roman Empire, we have Herod the Great overlooking the Palestinian region of the Roman Empire. Herod was known as the killer of the innocent. We learned that after Jesus was born, he sends out the call to kill all firstborn children, right? He's the killer of the innocent. I once read a story where he killed hundreds of people just before he died himself. He killed hundreds of people so that there would be a proper atmosphere of grief among his people. He was a tyrant. There was terror. There was fear. This is the setting that which me as a shepherd lives. The Jews of the day also knew fear when it came to connecting and worshiping God. There's Moses and the burning bush. There's the hot coals on Isaiah's lips. There's the extraterrestrial visions of Ezekiel. There's Jacob being crippled by an encounter with God. Jewish children grew up learning about if you mishandled the Ark of the Covenant, you die. If you go into the most holy place, you don't come out alive. If you touch the sacred mountain in the desert, you die. Fear was a common place in the society when Jesus was born. Even today, other religions in the world, Hindus still continue to make sacrifices in the temples. Muslims, when they pray, they bow so low that their forehead touches the ground. In most religions, fear is the primary emotion when one approaches God. Not only was there the class system, the walls that separated us from God, there was fear. Yet love came down that night. Love came down. God stooped to our level, to a crying, pooing, he couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, he needed to be fed, he needed to be cleaned, he was vulnerable. I remember the first time I held my daughter when she was born, and it was, her head's floppy, it's the vulnerableness, is that a word? I don't know, vulnerableness of a baby. God came down to the vulnerableness of a baby. How can I fear this vulnerable little baby. That morning, they led their sheep. The shepherds led their sheep into the presence of God, led them to the temple, into the presence of God. And that night, right in front of them, God led them into, they themselves were led into God's presence. Right in front of them, God was approachable. Love came down. I love the first words that the angels shared with the shepherds. Do not be afraid. That was their normal. The angels knew that the shepherds, the people of the time, lived in fear. Do not be afraid. See, I wonder if the shepherds thought that they were worthy. I'm just a shepherd. I just want to look after the sheep. Who makes me important? Why am I important? Why am I the one that's chosen to celebrate God's birth? Why me? I'm not worthy enough. Today, a Savior has been born to you. The angel says to the shepherds. When I was getting ready for the sermon and just reading this passage over and over, that the you just dropped to me. I remember one time I was growing up. I commonly did communion like most of us, and came up the front, and nothing. We had worship music beforehand. Nothing out of the ordinary, right? Normal kind of church service. And I went up, received the juice, and the person that was giving me communion, this is Christ's body poured out for you, Nathan, like is commonly said here in our church. And it just dropped in me. For some reason, God spoke. It was like if you carried a big boulder and there was like a calm lake and you just dropped the boulder, and it's just like... Just here is my body, here is my blood poured out for you, Nathan. It just dropped in my heart. God died for me. Today, a Savior has been born to you, Tim, Daniel, Tina, you. Everyone in this room, today a Savior has been born to you. You are worthy. God is right here. God is right now. I commonly, when hearing Caleb's sermon, that challenge hit home. Common lie that I believe is I'm not worthy to stand up here and preach. I'm not worthy to lead the youth group. I can't do it. I've done all this stuff. I'm not worthy. Today a Savior is born to you, to me, to everyone here. Yeah, God is right here. I'm not quite sure which language, but whether it's the Hebrew or the Greek, but there's a word that's commonly used for ear, but has the same is often used for heaven. So ear and heaven are the same words. There was this belief among people in the biblical times that the air we breathe and heaven share the same word. There's the same meaning. It is like heaven is all around you. I encourage you, try and feel the air that's around you. It's quite a weird thing to think about. How do you feel air? The heaven is as close as the air that is around me. Heaven is as close as the air that I breathe. In Acts 17, verse 24 to 28, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. He is as close as the air we breathe. Today, a Savior has been born to you. Right here, right now, God is your Savior. He invites you in. As we have seen, God comes down to us because we are worthy. The shepherds were worthy. You are worthy. So just want to, I suppose, as a way of responding, we're just going to spend a moment in a bit of silence. And I just want you to focus on your breath. As you breathe in and you breathe out. I think I heard once in a sermon that a common name for God was Yahweh. And it was almost used it was as easy to say as your breath. Yahweh. So you're breathing in God's presence that is all around you. So we'll just spend a moment in silence. I just want you to focus on your breath, and in particular that God is as close to you right now as the air that around you. Jesus, we are so, so grateful that you chose us. God, that you love us, that we are worthy. God, we are so grateful that you descended from heaven. You came down to this earth and you revealed yourself to a few random shepherds on the hill. So God, as we enter this Advent season, God, would we approach you as you approached us? That there's no barriers that prevent us from knowing you. There is no walls, there is no laws, God, that you want to know us. So God, would you keep inviting us, keep pulling us in and drawing us into yourself, I pray. Amen.